Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? That's what's on my heart here this morning. Boy, we got a snowy morning here in it's outside Columbus, Ohio. First really one we've had like this all year. Where are you going? That's what woke me up here today on the 28th day of February 2020. Let me ask you something. If you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you're there? How do you know when you're there? I'm talking about you now as the individual watching this show here. Right now at 1 minute after 7 on 2/28/2020. Where are you going? Hey, Coach, that's a funny thing to ask. Well, it might be a funny thing to ask, but I think it's really, really important. Where are you going? What's your life about? What are you doing with your life? I was realizing this morning as I got up early, second day in a row, 4 o'clock, the Lord had me up, man. Stuff coming to me. I'm 67 years old, and at times I feel like I'm 15. The energy and the vision that I have inside of my heart for what it is the Lord would want me to do and have me to do. And the most difficult thing about a vision, by the way, have you ever written it down? Jared, quickly go to Habakkuk. You say, right, what? Go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Go to Habakkuk. Where are you going? How are you going to know? If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you are there? Where are you going? A little back and forth with my wife this morning over some vision, some things that I'm a visionary. I've always been a visionary. And I'm not always good at executing the vision. Do you understand with what I'm with? But I see it. I say, boys, here's where we got to get. This is where we got to get. And I'm wondering this morning, how many of you, I'm talking to you right now, where are you going? And how many of you are willing to get out of your comfort zone to get there? See, that's why many of us, most of us, dare I say it, most of us never really do anything great with our lives because we live our lives too close to safety. Too close to safety. I had a guy say to me one time, Coach, easy, grimy. Coach, you're always out there on the limb. You always get out there on the limb. Somebody's going to cut it off. And I said, yeah, buddy, I go out on the limb. You know why? Because that's where all the fruit is. Where are you going? Where are you going? Do you know where you're going? But better yet, let me get over here on this thing. You know where the Lord would have you to go? Have any idea where he would want you to go? Jared, I'm trying to find here, Jared. Did you get to the Habakkuk? Yeah, Habakkuk 2, Jared. Habakkuk 2. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that. Second chapter of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Listen to me. Listen to me. I had a conversation with Steve Deck this morning. And just something the Holy Spirit just came up inside me. I'm going to share it with you today. Listen, where are you going? And is your vision so big that if God doesn't show up, you're going to be a failure? Where are you going? And I get up every morning. I'm not sucking on my thumb. Why me? I have stepped in my life. I have stepped into areas now in my life where I am uncomfortable. Why am I uncomfortable? Because I have stepped out of my comfort zone in areas that I don't feel equipped to do. But the Lord said, go do this. Go do this. The Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait. Oh, I hate that word, don't you? Don't you hate that word? Life would be so much easier if you didn't have to wait. I'm speaking to some of you out there this morning because I believe that God has something big he wants you to do. But you won't step out of the boat. You're scared to step out of the boat. And then once you step out of the boat, you're going to be like Peter. You're going to start sinking because you're going to start looking at your circumstances around you and say, ooh, whoa, I'm not used to this. Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? And the Lord's going to say to you, wait. Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord. That's Isaiah 58, maybe. I'll get you there in a second, Jared. Habakkuk. This is, I'm talking to me this morning, all right? Talking to me and some of the things I know that the Lord is doing on in my heart. Some of the things, listen to me, things that I know that the Lord wants to do through me. Hey, hey, what's the Lord want to do through you? Not for you. No, no, no. What does the Lord want to do through you? I'm going to tell you something. When you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, when you do that, you're going to get uncomfortable. So Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And I'm going to watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved or directed. So Habakkuk, he's in the midst of a crisis. He doesn't know what to do. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb up this tower and I'm going to fix myself in and I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's powerful. This verse has changed my life more than once. And the Lord answered me. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Habakkuk goes, he stands up and says, okay, Lord, let's do some business here. Let's do some business. And the Lord answered to him. I don't know why I'm emotional. This is deep. The Lord said this, write it down, baby. Write it down. Make it plain that he may run that reads it. Woo! Ain't always for us. I'm writing it down. But you know what? This vision I got in my heart, some of you guys are going to have to run with it. That's what it says. That's what it says. And the Lord answered me, and I'm 67 years old. 70's an old man, I thought. And the Lord answered me and said, write it down so Randy can read it. And Roger can read it and run with it. And Paul can read it and run with it. You write it down, coach, so John Brockoff can run with it. And Joe Allen can run with it. And Kevin Van Story can run with it. You write it down. You make it plain. For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Amen, coach.
Woo! You know what an appointment is? Do you know what an appointment is? Was it Esther that the Lord spoke to Esther and said, Esther, is it Esther that you have been called into the kingdom for such a time as this? Now listen. We don't know how long Esther had been in the kingdom. We don't have any idea really how long had she been there. And the Lord finally says to her, all that time that you've been in here, Esther, all that laboring, all that prayer, all that frustration, all that stuff that you've been through, boom, this is it. This is why. Right now is why. And he said to Esther, thanks, Jared. Whoa, I'm feeling this deeply. I'm not, I got tears in my eyes, not out of sadness. This is a Holy Spirit download. Because if you shut your mouth now, Is that what it says? My eye is burning. Hang on. Really, I got something in my eye. Because I'm going to tell you, if you hold your peace now, wow. For if thou altogether holdest thou peace at this time, then I'm going to find somebody else will arise to the Jews from someplace else. But I'm going to get it done. Lord said, I'm going to get it done. Whether you step to the plate or not, I'm going to get it done. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. The word of God, the work of the Lord will go forth either through you or without you. You understand that? And who knoweth, he said unto her, whether or not this is your time. Whether or not you've been called into the kingdom for such as time as this. What did Esther say? Hey, if I perish, I perish. Right? If I perish, I perish. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where's that vision that you have inside of you that is so big that if the Lord doesn't do it, it can't get done? Do you have that vision? Are you out on that limb? Have you walked out into the water that far? Are you in that deep? Because we're in desperate times, folks. We're in desperate, desperate, desperate times. And I was thinking today, I've been having a, trying to figure out, Lord, why, what's going on in my life? Why did I get up this morning? Lord, why did you wake me up at 4 o'clock this morning with visions so clear of what I'm going to do? What Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. It is so far out of my skill set, Lord, I can't do it. Can't do it. But what do we just read? Somebody else going to come help me do it. It says right here. And the deliverance arises. If you don't do it right now, dude, if you don't stand up and do it right now, I'm going to find somebody else going to do it because we're going to do it. It's so much bigger than me.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Man, eureka moment here. Mic drop moment. God's going to find someone else. He's still going to use people. He's not going to intervene and do a super, super, super miracle. He's going to use people to accomplish his mission.
He always does. And if you don't stand, how do you know whether or not, see, those who wait upon the Lord. Oh, see, I want to run out ahead of him.
Yeah.
Lord, I see what happened. I see why. Lord, I'm already out on the front line. Lord, I'm already storming Normandy Beach. He said, will you do me a favor? Will you sit down and wait? Because some of the people who are part of the vision, they're not here yet. Oh, my Lord.
Hey, Coach, that, those who wait upon the Lord, that word wait there is a Hebrew word that means bind together. Mm. It doesn't mean sit down and be lazy. It means bind together. When you bind together with the Lord, when he moves, you move. When he's sitting still, you sit still because you're bound to him.
It's like having a waiter. Go out to eat, you go to a waiter. He waits on you. We're supposed to wait on the Lord. We're supposed to serve the Lord where we are till he gives us his next order. That's what we're supposed to do. And when he gives us that next order, we got to move, baby. We got to move. For if you all together hold your peace at this time, if you won't wait on, if you won't serve the Lord at this time, dude, I'm done with you, and I'm going to find somebody else to do it. Does anybody read that any differently than me?
I got to just throw a hallelujah in here right now. Hallelujah.
To something higher. Something so much bigger. I believe that's the vision that the Lord has laid in my lap, and it scares me.
Dave.
Yeah.
I got a question.
this is a sincere question. See, sometimes in my own mind, I have dreams and visions in which I believe that I want to accomplish. And then sometimes I have other dreams and visions, but I don't necessarily know if which one is it that the Lord's telling me to. How is the Lord telling me to? You know, I pray, I look for confirmation, but you can find confirmation if you want to find confirmation in anything that, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. But Chad, that's why Habakkuk, that's why it's so important. Write the vision down. Why? Because others are going to run with it. Go back there, Jared. Write the vision down. For the vision and the Lord, oh man.
Coach, it's no accident. All week we've been talking about the word of truth, the power of the word of truth, the frequency of it, everything about it. Now, Coach, this, I tell you, I'm just sitting here shaking. This is so powerful. This is changing us, Coach. This is a revelation that we're getting to go do what he's calling us to do. I'm telling you, Coach, this is powerful.
Amen. Amen. Randy, verse 3, for the vision, you got to write it down. Why? Because the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's the Lord's appointed time, not mine. It's his appointed time. It's not yours. He said, write it down, and you write it down because people are going to come by, and they're going to read it. And what are they going to do when they read it, Randy? They're going to run with it. Amen. They're going to say, oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Let's go. It's not a one-man show. That's what I'm saying. It's not a one-man show. Why? Huh? For at the end, it shall speak. What? Vision's going to speak, man. It's going to speak, and it's not going to lie. And though it tarries, you wait for it because it's coming. It's coming. It ain't gonna be long. It's coming. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I got some download this morning. And I said, Lord, I can't do it.
Coach, it is this. This is a prophetic word. It says, God said, this is what I want to do, people. I'm going to give it to somebody. I'm going to give it to Mike Heath and let him write it down. I'm going to give it to Dave Obenmeyer. I'm going to let him write it down. Get in this and hear me and participate with what I'm doing. That is what it's all about, Coach. That's why we're here.
Let me, Lord, just help me to say this in the right way. Don't you want to be part of something great? What is it in your life? All of you, the 42 of you that are in the queue right now and the thousands that are listening, what great thing are you doing in your life? What great thing are you a part of? Now, I would hope the number one thing would be the family, your family. That's a great thing. Oh, my God, let's put some time and effort and energy into our family, that which is great. But other than that, what do you spend your life doing? Do you spend your life earning money to do what? To do what? What are you doing? What is your this great? What is this thing in your life that is so much bigger than you that if God doesn't show up and he doesn't send help, it can't be done? But the promise is, he will show up. And if you're called to be part of it and you stick your nose in the air and say, I'm not going to go do it because Coach Dave's a cult. Well, good for you. He's going to find somebody else because I know the vision. I had this discussion with Michelle today. Because I shared with her what the Lord downloaded into me. And I said, I can't do that, Lord. But yes, I can. Because it's his vision. It's his appointed time. It's not about me. And people, Michelle said to me today, when I shared it with her, she said, you're always running off starting new things. I said, that's who I am. That's what I do. But I said, honey, isn't this the vision? Isn't this what I do? Isn't this part of what I do as well? I know you guys are all busting out there wondering, what is it? I'm not going to share it with you. I'll share it with some of you, but not now. But you want to do something great? You guys want to do something great? I want to do something great. I want to do something so above and beyond me. I'm talking about me. I want to lead. I want to be part of a spiritual revival in the hearts of men that will so impact this nation. That's what I want to do. That's the vision. And as the Lord began to roll stuff out to me, I said, oh, Lord, I can't do that. That's not my gifting. I can't do that. Well, write it down. You write it down because it ain't your vision, coach. It's mine, and there's an appointed time. And if you write it down, those who read it, they're going to run with it. I think I've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Hey, so have you. So have you. Now, will you accept the ordination or the, what is when they put, when they anoint you, whatever they do, the will you or will you not? Are you afraid? Well, you're afraid you're going to lose your money in your house? You might lose that anyway. You're afraid you're going to get killed? You might have a heart attack tomorrow anyway. What? I know this. Lord, I'm going to say it. I want to die a martyr's death. I want to die a martyr's death. I want it to be one of the, Lord, nevertheless, your will be done. But I want them to be able to walk by and say, right there's where it happened. Right there. Right there. And people will come and say, right there, where it happened.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe, you know, Jesus, when he talked to multitudes more than just his little group, he always talked in parables so the people wouldn't understand what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Do you think when he told the multitude the parable of the talents where he, you know, master gave one, you know, three servants a talent each, and then he went away and one servant made five, one made 10, and one buried it? You think instead of talents and a coin, Jesus was talking about vision? Says I place a vision. Some people run with it. Some people do it in it. And other people gather around them and they increase it. Says some people do a better job at that than others, but there's two groups that actually do and run with a vision. Another person takes that vision I give them and buries it in the ground. And I take that vision away from him because he was useless.
I think that's part of it, Larry, but I think sometimes we outrun the vision. In other words, we try to do it in our own time, in our own strength, and in our own power. And that's what you call Ishmael. Ishmael is when we, in our natural state, try to help God in us with a spiritual issue. We get out.
Kind of goes back to what you always preach. There's a balance.
There's always a balance. But the idea that I can't do it is evidence that I have to cast the vision, because the vision is yet for an appointed time. It is for somebody to do for such a time. For such a time. I know I'm making sense. I know I'm making sense.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, when I woke up this morning at 4:45, this was on me. I didn't get up and write it down, but this was what I had. And it was just simply this. It said, the kingdoms of this world will decrease, but the kingdom of God will increase. Mm-hmm. Now, that's scriptural. Whether to depend on everybody's theology, doesn't matter. That's the word of God. Isaiah said, he said his kingdom, his government, it would increase and it would bring peace and it would never end.
Never so end.
Take it wherever you want it, what direction. But I believe God is going to win.
Hey, Randy, listen to this. Hey, folks. George Washington's dead. Thomas Jefferson's dead. The Apostle Paul's dead. Peter the loudmouth is dead. Matthew, he's dead. James and John, Philip, they're all dead. Habakkuk's dead. And I'm alive. Randy's alive. Larry's alive. Mel's alive. Trump's alive. Rich is alive. Roger's alive. Rob Pugh's alive. It's our turn now. It's our turn now, see? It's our turn. We ain't going to be here forever. I was thinking about my dad. My dad died in 2005. That's 15 years ago my dad died. 15 years ago. And I thought, golly, what vision was in my dad's heart that he never was able to live out for fear or whatever it was? He was never able to live it out. And now he's dead and he doesn't have any chance to do it again. My turn. Wow, Mike. It's deep, boys.
Hey, Dave. I guess what I fight with is I've had this vision for 2 years that I've been wrestling with the Lord about, and I guess I just wrestle with that. I want to make sure that it's not me doing it and that it is of the Lord, because what's been running through my head could be perceived as dividing, you know, as opposed to, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It could be construed as being divisive as opposed to helpful.
Construed by who?
Well, yeah, people.
Yeah.
Well, Rich, a sifting, that's what I sense, a sifting.
Yeah.
Sense acceleration. That's what, fellas, that's what I sense, acceleration.
Yeah.
Acceleration, that's what I sense. I sense, thank you, Lord. It tells us to shake off those sins and those ways. Romans 12, Jared. Thank you, Lord. Romans 12. It came right after the Faith Hall of Fame, by the way. That's Romans 11. The Faith Hall of Fame talks about all the people and all the great stuff they did. And this is at the end of it that they can't get. Jared, can you go back just one verse? And it'd be Romans 11. Go to the very end. And I want you to see something. This is the Faith Hall of Fame. Talked about all the guys who, you know, they lost. No, that's not right.
That's Hebrews 11, right?
That's Hebrews. What did I say? Romans, Hebrews, Jared. Yeah. Thanks, Randy. Hebrews. Thanks, Larry. Hebrews 11. Look at the last one. Look all the way down. Faith Hall of Fame tells what all those guys. I want my name there. Anybody? I want my name there. Going down. Last verse of Hebrews 11. Remember, it's not written in chapters. It's not written in chapters. This is a continuous thought. It said, all these having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't receive the promise. Why? Because God had a better plan. God having provided something better, a better plan that they, without us, can't finish it. Isn't that something? They're waiting on us to run our race. Then it leads into chapter 12. Not a chapter break. They put a chapter break there. Then it says this. So it says, wherefore, seeing also, you and I were compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, these guys that we just read about. You and me, Randy, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us. And Randy and Larry and Kevin and Mark and Mel, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why? Because we got to look to Jesus, whose plan we are executing. He's the author and finisher of our plan, of his plan, who for the joy that was set before him, he went through some tough time too. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He went through it as well. Why? You consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood. striving against sin. Mm. Wow. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Hang on, listen, listen. You're not ready. He's been telling you to wait. He's been telling you to wait. Why? Because, my son, don't despise the chastening, because he's getting you ready. And don't you faint when it doesn't come out the way that you thought it was, because he's the author. He's the finisher. He's the visionary. He said, write it down, and I'm going to perform it. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. Why? Because he's got to sharpen you to be ready to do the job. And if you're getting in shape, if you endure getting in shape, if you endure the training, if you endure the chastening, God dealeth with you like one of his own boys. And the Lord really loves you so much that he's going to put you through some crap. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're not his boys. You're just a bastard. You don't even have a daddy. If you're just doing it on your own because it's easy and there's something in it for you, go someplace else. Furthermore, we had fathers in our flesh who corrected us. We gave them reverence. We used to, didn't we? We used to give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in obedience unto the Father of spirits and live? Wow. Boys, it's time. In my life, it's time. In my life. I don't know where the rest of you are. I don't have a messianic complex. No, I don't have a martyr's complex, but I know this. It's game time, boys. It's time. It's time. And the stuff that I have laid in, that the Lord has dumped into my heart, is not trivial stuff. And unless he performs it, I can't do it. And I believe there's some of you out there who are part of it. I don't even know what it means yet. I'm sorry. Coach, I've made this all about me, but it's into my heart. This has been downloaded, okay? I don't know what he's downloaded in your heart. And I don't even know how you're receiving what I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you something. What I am receiving, what I'm sharing with you, I have received from the Lord.
Yes. Go ahead, Randy. Go ahead, Chad.
Or whoever it was.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say, this is like Mission Impossible. And here's the objective if you choose to accept it.
That's right.
If you choose to accept it, it lays in front of you. The thing that's put on, when I had many conversations with Todd Barm recently, it's faith. Our faith is going to be tested. And we must be obedient and grow our faith. Faith is like a seed. We plant it and it grows into this plant. Do you have a huge oak tree or do you have a withering blade of grass as your piece of faith? Because this was going to be tested. And by being obedient, grows that tree, in my opinion.
Amen.
I have a mustard seed.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's more than most have. You believe it? Hey, listen. Here's what I'd say. I've been through it, dude. I'd call that general manager and I'd thank him. I'd thank him. In my whole town, I'd tell him my whole life, I've been running around people who are disloyal and I thank you for it. I'm going hard after my vision. Hey, listen, don't whine. Don't whine when you run into rough times. Don't just keep moving forward, man. So we're at war. And I'm going to say this, and I don't care if any, I'm not here to make people, I hope you don't take me wrong, but I don't care. I have not been, how do I say this? I'm not tied in knots over the coronavirus. You know why? Because my vision's 9 months down the road. I prepared. We've got food. We got all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to sit around and do a daily follow-up on the coronavirus. Now, listen, If you want to do that, God bless. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling me what you're about. I'm telling about me, my vision, my vision. See, my vision is after the coronavirus, after it. And if we're not careful, we get running down with the devil is so subtle in what he does to us and how he distracts us and how he pulls us offline. And I said, you know what, Lord, if that coronavirus is really true, I listened to Hagman, Steve Quayle last night. My goodness, the world's about to fall apart. If that's true, sky high is more and more important to me. I got to get sky high. I'm not wearing masks and wearing gloves. I'm getting sky high ready. Why? Because the Lord told me, here, this is for you, and I've got it. And why do I have it? I don't know, but I'm getting it ready. Are you guys with me? We have to go, but guys, we have to live out of the present. We have to get out of the present. We are in the present. We have to operate in the present. But vision has to do with where you're going, not where you are. Oh, man.
Coach, when Paul was going to Jerusalem, he was going to, Rome, everything happened. You read the book of Acts, read it. Everything happened. And every time he would say, that's okay, we'll get through this because I have a destiny in Rome. He saw where he was going. It didn't matter what he went through. We have to see this, Coach. Our vision, what you're saying, is that when we mix faith and we believe what God is saying to us personally, nothing's going to stop us, Coach. The coronavirus may slow something down, but you just step over it and you go, no, we're going down the road farther. This isn't stopping us.
That's they tell us, we love to hear Christians tell us that it's only going to get worse. And then as it gets worse, we act shocked that it's going to get worse. Now, I don't buy into that doom and gloom. It's going to get worse. If it gets worse, I'll be prepared to do something about it. But I'm trying right now to fill my barns. I'm trying to fill the barns. Build the barns. That's what I'm trying to do. I'll get my gloves on and my mask and I'll store food and I'll start taking some vitamins to get my immune system up. I can't stop it. It's coming. It's coming. I can't stop it. What's after that? That's where I live. That's where I tell you.
Well, if we're not doing anything, Dave, what's the use of living?
Hey, Coach.
That's my point. Where there's no vision. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, on my effort to save people's homes from mortgage companies ripping their homes away if they miss a few payments because of government-enforced isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thought that hit my mind when that plan hit my brain was, you know, if we do this, a whole lot of ungodly people, their homes are going to be saved. But guess what? When Joseph spent 17 years in prison in Egypt, and then was put in a place of authority where when the time came and he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream and he stored up 7 years of abundant crops into storehouses so that people would have something to eat during the 7 years of famine, a whole lot of ungodly people ate that stuff. But when his family needed sustenance, it was there when they traveled to Egypt, and the stuff that Joseph had put in the storehouse was there to keep his family going.
I'm with you. Yes, sir. Hey, let me throw some. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that's going on here is you're speaking to the concept that we're all deeply ingrained. It's part of our heritage now because we've been trained to do this. We live in this instant gratification. We don't have the long view. Everything is, I'm going to do this. It's going to be resolved in a 30-minute television show. We're not looking. I'm right with you on the coronavirus. It's going to happen or it's not. I'm already doing everything I need to do. I'm way past the coronavirus. What are we doing at the end of that? When Governor LePage got elected, I said, okay, as soon as we get this guy elected, we got to be looking for the guy that we're going to get elected after him. Instead, right. We focus on this guy that didn't pull the trigger on lunatic as the governor of Maine right now, that's pushing us all right over the edge. So we don't have this long, correct vision. If you look at other cultures, that's why they have continued, and their culture is so solid, because they have the long view, the 50,000 foot view, not the 10 foot view.
That's right, Larry, or Jack. That's right. And so listen, folks, listen. As I look at the coronavirus, I just want to make a point. What Jack just said, as I look at the coronavirus, I ask myself this: what's next? That's the way I look at it. And is this a setup? Let's say the coronavirus is very, very real and very, very dangerous. Is this a setup to get us to take vaccinations? Is this a setup to get us to accept martial law? What is the next step? That's hey, if I die by the coronavirus, I'll be out. It don't matter. My plans don't matter anyway. But I'm saying, okay, the coronavirus is here. Okay, what's my next step? What is the devil leading us towards? And what should I, as a man of God, be doing about it? That's where I try to live. That's where I try to live. If I die laying in my bed, hacking out my lungs from the coronavirus, well, then all those plans, they were meaningless. But if I live through the coronavirus, all those plans are going to matter then, aren't they? They're going to matter. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. I got a vision. The Lord is downloading a vision into my heart. And I'm going to ask some of you, the Lord's going to have some of you to read it and run with it. Some of you are going to be a part of the vision. Vision is yet for an appointed time. Hey, wait on it when it comes. Oh, my goodness. Hey, great news. You will be hearing soon, probably within a week, from our lawyers. Had a great conversation yesterday. Here's part of the things that we're dealing with on that, folks. Who do you sue? What do you sue them for? Who do you copy on the suit? A lot of things that the attorneys are working through before we fire the first shot. The first shot's coming. I hear people all the time say, "Oh, you're just doing that to raise money." Huh? Well, okay. You don't know me very well, evidently. So good news. Had a great conversation with it. We have a game plan laid out. We do. And I'm not going to say it here because the enemy's listening. But I can assure you that within a week, give me 10 days, you're going to hear from us. Something's going to happen. And I get so tired again last night. The naysayers, oh, they'll throw it right out of court. No, that's not even, you don't even have any victims. You don't have any. Yeah, well, they're going to laugh at you. But they ain't I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't laughing. And I said yesterday on the show, the end result of this is going to be no more smut. That's going to be the end result. That's going to be the end result, man. So it's all good. Vinny put up there, 1,300 people have complained to the FCC. I think that's a lie. I think it's multitude times more than that. They tell us 1,300. Folks, if it's only 1,300 complaints that they had received, why would that even be news? 1,300, 100 million people watched the Super Bowl, 100 million, and they got 1,300 complaints, and they're talking about it on Yahoo News. And No, folks, this is bigger than you think it is. They've heard more and more and more. That's all it is. And they're going to use 1,300 as a jumping off point to be able to say, well, okay, we will appease that small little group of 1,300 people, when in fact it's probably in the thousands.
Hey,
and they don't
coach.
We forced it to happen, see?
The statisticians, the people that the bean counters, they understand that when one person makes a call, it represents the relative will of 2,000 people. When one person writes a letter, it represents the will of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And so maybe there has been 1,300 paper complaints filed with the FCC, but they're looking at that saying that each one of those that actually took the time to write it represents the will of probably 10 or 20,000 people.
That's right, Jack. And let me play Larry Richardson here a minute. Have you filed? Have you guys watching this show, have you filed a complaint with the FCC? Don't know. Hey, listen, I got something else I want to move to real quickly. Make you aware of this. Rob Pugh yesterday did a tremendous interview with Judge Roy Moore on his Jared, go to, I think I put the link in here. And Rob was kind enough to allow me to be part of the interview because I have a bit of a history with Judge Moore. And so Rob, you know, Rob is nice. Said, hey, Coach, come on the show with us. Come on the show with us. Judge Moore said yesterday he doesn't, that the Republican Party, of course, has totally, completely deserted him. He's raised a couple hundred thousand bucks, but that's not, they don't want Judge Moore. Hey, Jared, go to the 45-minute mark. They don't want Judge Moore. But if you get a chance, Rob, I'll try to put this in the link, but you can go to the Wisconsin Christian News website and watch this entire hour-long interview with Judge Moore yesterday. Folks, we're all going to stand before a righteous judge, and we're going to weep that we did not help this guy. We're going to weep. I'm just telling you. But this guy so gets it, and they so hate him. But I want you to listen to him at the 45-minute mark. I'm going to play about 5 minutes of it here, where I ask him specifically about Obergefell. Because the judge got thrown out of office the last time because he wrote a memorandum to – he was the chief justice of Alabama, and he wrote a memorandum to all of the judges under his jurisdiction and said, listen – Obergefell is not law. It's not law. He said, he warned him, and they ended up throwing him out of office again. And in this, I hope I have this at the right place. He's going to explain to us today that they threw him out of office, but never challenged his assertions that Obergefell is only that the decision of Obergefell, gay marriage, homo marriage, only applies to the Sixth Circuit. That was the argument he made. They never refuted it. And to this very moment, that decision of the Supreme Court only applies to the Sixth District. Go ahead and play that, Jared, real quickly here.
Since I went into West Point.
Maybe you can double. I know you can't. Go ahead.
65. In 1969, I graduated, and shortly I found myself in Vietnam, where some of my soldiers and some of my classmates were killed. Standing for what this country was for and was based upon, defending the United States Constitution. We need to go back to the Constitution. We need to recognize it's a separation of powers and there's checks on the powers and that government shouldn't be making laws to administrative agencies without any control of Congress. Or the United States Supreme Court should be uttering laws that they say even the Congress can't make, as they did in 2013. Well, we need to go back and recognize that it's a nation on a foundation that if we destroy its basis, we're going to be destroyed from within. We're not going to be destroyed from without. Russia, China, no country will defeat us unless we give it up from within, as did the Roman Empire, as did so many other countries and nations. We need to go back and recognize that God is our only source of security and real security. I mean, look what happens when the Twin Towers fell. Congress got on the steps and started praying. Mm. Well, who are they praying to? They were praying to God. That's the same thing Franklin Delano Roosevelt prayed to on the eve of breaking into Normandy, the invasion of Normandy. We need to recognize that God has always been Washington recognized it in every battle he ever fought. We've got to recognize that God is our strength and security. And it's a strength that forms the basis of our homes, our families, children coming up need to be advised about the Constitution. I think that separates me from some of the candidates. I won't say all, but I'll say some of the candidates. Other things separate me, I'm a military veteran. I know about war. Congress declares war, and we certainly should have people in Congress that know the results and the consequences of war before we declare it, not that we shouldn't or that we should.
Listen, we'll put it in the chat somehow. This is worth an hour of your time. I promise you, this is worth an hour of your time, Judge Roy Moore. And they'll find out, go to the Wisconsin Christian News TV, or you can go to Wisconsin Christian News, Rob's Facebook web place. Rob, are you there? Maybe, what's the best place for him to come and be able to get it, Rob? WCNTV Rob.net. Maybe we can put that in the link as well. But Rob, for those who are on Facebook, Rob, do they just go to the Wisconsin Christian News Facebook page? Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's three of them. You can do Wisconsin Christian News Facebook, Wisconsin Salt and Light Brigade Facebook, or WCNTV Facebook.
What was your reaction, Rob? I didn't get to talk to you after. What was your reaction for what you heard yesterday?
Well, he's one of my heroes. And the day before we had Sheriff Roy Moore on. Yeah. So, these are guys standing for righteousness, and they're the ones that are being persecuted.
This has cost him his job twice.
Yep, same with Sheriff Moore.
Has laid his job on the line twice, folks. He is an American hero beyond what we can even understand. So I would suggest that you make the time to go watch that video at Wisconsin. It's really, really good. And Rob and I are kind of double teaming back and forth. And well, I'll speak later how I think Judge Moore kind of plays into the,
you know, Sheriff Arpaio and Judge Moore, their actions lay their entire situations on the line every day, and mm-hmm. they're still doing so. But when they lose the job, when they get removed from office and stuff, that's they're laying their jobs on the altar of obedience.
Well, Larry, here's the thing. Again, I asked Judge Moore during the interview, basically, where was the church in all this mess, right? How could the church allow this godly man to be removed from office? How could they? How could they? And then I hear some of you out there right now chuckle and say, yeah, but what about all those women? What about those women? You know, he was driving. Well, yeah, see? You believe the damn enemy, Christians. You're not smart enough to understand it's the enemy that does it. The accuser of the brethren.
Those accusations came out.
On Judge Moore. The church dropped the ball. The church could have taken Judge Moore and stuck him in Washington, D.C. and said, there, take that, Republican Party. No, they wanted to believe that he raped some women. The old Kavanaugh effect before Kavanaugh, right? They never change what they do.
No.
You know, Coach, those allegations came out 2 weeks before the election. So
2 weeks before the election.
All phony.
Four of them, by the way. It's got four lawsuits going. Robert, get ready. Hey, guys, I got a big vision tomorrow. Tomorrow's leap year, isn't it? Tomorrow's the 29th, February 29th, leap year. March 1st, coming up, my brother's birthday. Jeezy peasy, where is time gone? Where is time gone? Come on in here, Robert, and help us out here on February 28th.
All righty. A little bit of positive news here. It's short, but it's to the point.
Wait a minute. You mean I didn't have positive news? Is that what you're telling me?
You got positive news. We just got to get people in a positive position.
Hey.
Proactive.
That's part of my plan. I'm going to write it down so that the one who reads it can run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Don't wait. Don't tarry. Wait for it because it will surely come. It's surely going to come. February 28th, 29th, 28th.
February 28th. When we fall down on our backs, it is easier to look up. Then when we rise up and face the sun, our shadows fall down and disappear behind us.
Amen.
Avoiding spiritual heart failure. Christians don't have to experience spiritual heart failure since God has put his unfailing laws upon their heart, our heart. The proper use and exercise of God's laws and wisdom brings health to the heart, renewal to the mind, refreshment to the bones, healing to the body, and life to the soul. The one who stays in the upper room with the great physician will stay out of the emergency room of the world.
Amen.
The wisdom of God says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life.
Yep.
A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So we can be joyful even though times are difficult. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, give thanks in all things. We know we're on the winning side.
Broken spirit dries up the bones. What does the scripture say, Ezekiel? He says, prophesy to those dry bones, Randy. Have life, baby. Have life. Oh, Lord, I felt that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got 6 minutes left. Somebody want to help me wind this thing up? No? Come on. Somebody jump in here. That's hey, Flea Flicker Friday. You got 5 minutes left. You flex up out there. Checking my email here.
Hey, Coach, I was too busy having breakfast. You got tons of support out there. I sent you two videos. I got more videos to send you. Just like you said, that figure, it's at least 10 times that number.
Oh, my God. Listen, this is going to be such a home run. It's going to be such a home run. I'll talk more about it maybe after the show's over here.
Absolutely.
Listen, folks, for Yahoo News, 1,300 people. Come on. You're smarter than that, aren't you? 1,300? Come on. Is that Craig? Somebody, come on. Whoever it was. Kevin?
No, it's me, Coach. It's Kevin. I'm just going to throw this out there. Being a part of this queue, you know, if you're a cult leader, then you know I'm daggum glad that I'm using you as my coach, because I don't follow you. I listen to you with discernment, and the Lord has given you words that, with the discernment that He gives me, are giving me the courage and boldness to step way outside myself and go forth and do as He has commanded me to do. I'm gonna confess something right now. 2 weeks after you ordained me in February of 2018, the Lord put this vision on me, and I was afraid to follow through, and I believe he punished me for it, because I was not an obedient child, and I did not follow through. But I've stepped outside myself, and I'm following through, and I'm seeing blessings and things just coming about that I could not have ever imagined.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm going to say, I hope you win, but it's not about winning. It's not about winning. It's about fighting. It's about fighting. That's how winning's done.
Yesterday, but something showed up last night, $510. I really don't want you doing that.
We're hearing you. I don't know if you're trying to go public or not. We're hearing your most intimate discussions there. Anybody else? Oh, Lord Jesus. It's all good.
Yeah. unbridled or whatever you want to call it, promotion. There's a link in it that I put in the chat. It's a video that I made yesterday at the request of the South Carolina representative, that she can use a video to help convince the other representatives to go forward with a law that'll protect people's mortgages in the state of South Carolina.
Good stuff, Larry.
It is good stuff, Larry. See, then, folks, this is, as Larry's fighting the coronavirus, he's looking ahead. This is the mindset that we have to get. We live in the here and now, but we don't stay in the here and now. We have to have, where there is no vision, the people perish. Habakkuk said, write it down. Write down the vision. Why? Because somebody else is going to come along and say, yeah, I'm for that too. By the way, that's what happened with my lawsuit with the NFL. I did a video of it. I did a video in my driveway, in my car. I wrote it down. Somebody read it, didn't they? Why?
Because
it is yet for an appointed time. The NFL's going down, man. They're going down. Pepsi, they're going down. FCC, they're going down. The FCC allowed this to happen. They did it to us 14 years ago with Janet Jackson. They allowed it to happen again. That's inexcusable. Yeah, Jeff.
Well, your encouragement helps the vision to go forward. It's like us at Kenyon College. You know, they won't beat us down, but we're going to go back. And so I thank you for that.
Well, why the hell would you want the encouragement of Kenyon College? They ought to be fighting back, right? They fight back. They don't actually just take it. They fight back. March 24th, we're going back there. Is that what it is, Jeff? Whatever that day is, we're going back there.
21st.
Yeah, 21st. First day of spring. We're going to raise up a crew, and we're going to go back, and we're going to – what a time to be alive, man. What a time to be alive. The vision is yet for an appointed time. The Terry – wait for it. Or shall not tarry. It's not going to tarry. The Lord's vision, it's the Lord's work. We just have to make ourselves available to do it. Man, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning.